If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11. And I realize already this morning we've had some little bit of wave and roller coaster of emotions. And, you know, quite frankly, I think that's okay. The Lord has made us with emotions. And, I think it's okay to experience those and go through those things, and we have to be careful. Our emotions can't run us, good or bad. And so we are going to look at the scriptures from Hebrews. I've shared recently, Hebrews is one of my favorite books in the Bible. I've been able to do some extensive study within Hebrews, and I was sharing this, I think, in a prayer meeting recently. But you want the theme of Hebrews, you can jot this down in the first part of Hebrews right before 1:1, and you can write this: Jesus is greater. That's the theme of Hebrews. He begins talking about how God spoke in times past by prophets, and then he says now he speaks through his Son. Jesus is greater than the prophets who went before him. And then he talks about the angels, and he goes through these couple chapters, how great angels are. And the writer comes and lands at the point, Jesus is greater than the angels. And then he goes on, he talks about the priests and the Old Testament law and the sacrificial system. And every point along the way, Jesus is greater. And man, what a tremendous book. It is a tremendous portion of Scripture, and I have a great affection for it. And so this morning we get to kind of in the midst of this chapter dig in and looking forward to eventually getting back to our Sermon on the Mount series, but we've had to hit the pause button for a few things and a couple weeks on Christmas. This week we're talking about taking the next step, and then I know I said this earlier, but let me say it again. I hope you'll put it in calendar. You'll make a point to be here next Sunday as I give you the State of the Church address and just walk through some of that. But this morning, talking about taking the next step. And you're quite aware that, I don't know, 36 hours or so, maybe a little more, we'll enter into, should the Lord tarry, 2019. And it's New Year's, New Year's Day. It's the time where we think we can change a whole lot more about our life in a few days than what we really can, right? We make all these resolutions, and we make all these grand plans and set these incredible goals that we'll do our best for a couple weeks, and then somewhere around February or March we'll look. And I know you don't do this. This is what I do. You know, about March I'll go, boy, I hadn't lost quite as many pounds as I planned. I hadn't ran as quite as many miles or read quite as much. So I do want to say this. I'm going to challenge you this morning. I believe the Scripture is going to challenge us this morning to talk about taking our next step. And you may see, if you have the notes there, there's a few places along the way that I put a opportunity for you to write down a goal. And really what I should have put was a response. When you hear from this text, I want to challenge you to respond and write down your plan to respond. But I do want to say this. I want us to be very careful. Scripture says, let our yes be yes and our no be no. We need to be careful not to vow too many things and not be faithful to do those things. Of all people, Christians ought to still be a people where our word matters. Amen? I know we live in a day and time where that's not valued, but and we are going to have to go through red tape and certain things, but man, if we say we're going to pay somebody, or we're going to do here, we're going to be this, or we're going to do that, Christians ought to still be a people where when we say something, people, barring a providentially hindered, ought to be able to count on that. And so this morning, as we talk about some of these things, I want to maybe just throw a little bit of a caution tape up to say, before we overcommit, we need to make sure. Now, the other side of that, the answer is not just, well, I ain't going to commit to anything. I know how I keep my word. I'll never commit to anything, and that way I won't ever have to break my word. Well, that's a terrible way to go about it. You won't ever be fruitful or productive for the kingdom of God. So if you find your place in Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 11, will you stand with me? If you're able to, Let's stand in the honor of the Word of God. Let's pray this morning that it speaks. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11. Of whom we have much to say, and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your word. And God, to be honest, I have no doubt that your word will speak this morning, because it is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I pray this morning that you would give us grace not to be dull of hearing this morning, but rather you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to understand, minds to receive, and a will to be obedient. Lord, I pray you would empty me of everything of myself, fill me with your Spirit, and give me the grace to preach as a dying man to a dying people about the risen Savior. We love you and praise you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. And so he says in our text this morning, he begins, of whom we have much to say. And I know that's in the middle of a sentence, it's in the middle of a thought, and so why don't we back up and catch more of it? Well, reality, I think there's an important break there, but what's he been talking about? He's been talking about Jesus' priestly order in the order of Melchizedek. And so we don't know a whole lot about Melchizedek. There's a few passages of Scripture about him, but he's just teaching on this. And so the author here, we don't know who it is. There's a lot of argument about who it is, but nonetheless, it's inspired Scripture. So ultimately, the Holy Spirit is the author, okay? So we can trust the Word. But he says, of whom we have much to say. And then he goes on and he wants to tell us more is what he's saying. I want to talk to you more about this order of Melchizedek, but as we're going to dig into a moment, he says, I can't. You're not ready for it. And so the main idea of the text this morning is that you can hinder your personal spiritual development and growth. The main idea is that you can hinder your personal spiritual development and growth. You really have a choice in this thing. You're where you are spiritually by your choice. And if you've grown and you're mature in the faith, it's only by the Spirit of God and His grace in your life. But it's been said this way, we have as much of Jesus as we want. What does it mean? That I had as much quiet time, I had as much personal time with God this morning as I wanted. I had as much time with God yesterday as I wanted. Certainly there are life-altering events that prohibit us from doing those things sometimes. But majority and predominantly speaking, we spend as much time with God as we want to. We're going to unpack some of that. So the question this morning is, are you ready for the next step? Now, I've been talking a lot about this Sunday and next Sunday the last several weeks, and you're probably glad they're here and be glad when they're gone. But this title of this message is The Next Step. Now, I realize in a church our size, we have individuals who are all over the spiritual growth spectrum. We have individuals who have recently prayed to receive Christ and given their heart to Jesus. And now I realize we have individuals who, are been walking with the Lord a long time and have spent many, 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 many hours before God, and you have more godliness in your pinky than I may ever have in my lifetime. And so as we talk about taking this next step, as we walk through some of these things, I realize we're all at different walks and different places in our life. See, here's the picture. Whenever I got saved, I was nothing apart from the saving work of Jesus Christ. I was nothing like Christ. Jesus saved me, and He knows that last date that'll be put on my tombstone. And what the point is from the day He saved me to the day that He calls me home, He is constantly trying to make me more and more like Himself. Okay? And so what does that mean? That means that here, 14 years later, after my own salvation, I ought to look more like Jesus than I did 14 years ago. And I had one of my favorite professors. He's become a real hero of the faith to me, a man named Dr. Chuck Lawless. And he, last seminar I was in with him, he told the class this. He said, nobody defaults into godliness. Nobody defaults into godliness. What was he saying? He's saying, men, you're not going to wake up tomorrow morning and suddenly be more godly by accident. He was saying it's going to take some intentionality on your part. Now listen, under the direction of the Spirit of God, and you better believe before we get done with this morning, I'm going to hammer on that really strongly, but if I'm going to spend more time with God, I'm going to have to be intentional about it. If I'm not intentional about it, my day will get away. Anybody ever been like that? I tell you, one of the most difficult times to maintain your walk with the Lord in daily quiet time is usually on vacation. We get out of our regular rhythms, we get out of our regular everyday life, and man, before you know it, you're on vacation, the day gets away from you, and you look back and go, man, I haven't spent time with the Lord today, or the last couple days, or whatever it may be. And the same is true, listen, another pastor, virtually every Saturday night, he tweets out, he says, Sunday morning is a Saturday night decision. That you and I on Saturday night better make up our mind, if we're going to be here on Sunday morning, you better at least, if not beforehand, make that decision by Saturday night. Because some people just say, well, we'll wake up and see how I feel. And man, that's why they're here sometimes and they're not. And so all I'm saying to you this morning is, the challenge to you on the table this morning is, for 2019, should God tarry, I want to challenge you from the Scripture, will you take your next step? What is it? What's hindering me? We're going to talk about hindrances, we're going to talk about keys to that. But the ultimate challenge is, your next step in your walk with Christ, will you take that next step this year? And that's going to look different for each and every one of us in this room this morning. And so, number one, if you're taking notes, there are hindrances to your next step for growth. There are hindrances to your next step for growth. Look at verse 11. Here again, of whom we have much to say. And I realize, again, that's in the middle of a sentence, and he's talking about that order of Melchizedek. He's talking about Jesus, but he's talking about that priestly order. Since you have become, but he says, of much to say and hard to explain. So he's got some hard, difficult things he wants to teach them. But what's the problem? He says, since you have become dull of hearing. What's he saying? He's saying, I want to teach you more, but I can't. I can't teach you any more about this because you're dull of hearing. Some of our parents may have said, you're hard of hearing. You're in Arkansas, right? Hard of hearing. There's no of in there. but you're hard of hearing. You're hard-headed. You're not ready. And some translations say lazy to understand. And so what is he saying? There's some roadblocks. There's some stumbling blocks. There's some things in their lives that they're not ready for this. Who he's writing to, he's saying, listen, there's more I want to teach you. I want you to go deeper in your faith, deeper in your understanding. I want you to grow, and we're going to see, I want you to get off milk and begin eating meat. Is the analogy that he uses, but he said, I can't do that because there's some hindrances in your life. That's why I love that we sang this morning, Word of God, speak. Let it fall down like rain and wash my eyes to see. I just wish Jonathan, you need to write a verse in there that talks about opening up our hearing. Because there's some blocks in your life and in my life that keep us, that hinder us from going deeper in our faith. And for every one of us, those things are different. Listen to what Jesus teaches us, and this isn't on the screen, so you have to jot it down, but Matthew chapter 13 and verse 15. Matthew 13, 15. This isn't in your notes, this is free, so I won't charge you extra. But he says, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. What was he talking about with them? They had hard hearts. Some of you won't go deeper in your faith and your walk with Christ because you have a hard heart, and that begins with a personal relationship with Jesus. Some of you are as apathetic to the things of God as you ever have been because you've never trusted Christ. That's the beginning place that you need Jesus to take that heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. But for most of you, I imagine in this room, you've had that experience. But too often we have some blockers, we have some hindrances to our faith. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. The analogy that is used here by the writer of Hebrews, he talks about a baby who is taking milk. You bring home that baby. As much as we'd love to, us dads talking about, well, I can't wait till I cook my boy a steak and he'll eat steak. Well, maybe so, but it's going to be a few years, buddy. because that baby comes home, they've got to have milk. We got to teach them. We got to make sure they get all those nutrients. If we try to just feed them our food, number one, they'll get choked. Number two, they won't be able to eat because they can't get it down. Their body can't handle that. They're not ready for it. And so the analogy that is being used here is that when you were first found, when you were first saved, you were a babe in Christ. And what you understood were the elementary, is what is used in Hebrews 6, the fundamental things, the most basic things of Christianity, that's what you first started learning because that's all you could handle. That's the milk. He said, as a baby, you're not ready to handle the more difficult things because you're not physically able to do it. There's hindrances. You don't have the teeth to chew it. You don't have the digestive system to be able to handle that. There's some hindrances to that. But what he's rebuking the Hebrews about is that the fact that they've been saved, yet they're still taking on the milk when they should have surpassed those things. But rather, they're dull of hearing. They're too lazy to understand. There's some blocks in their life that they're not dealing with those things. They're not grabbing a hold of these more mature principles because there's things that are holding them back. And church family, I would just suggest to you, or ask you, what is it that held you back in 2018 from going deeper in your walk with Christ? What held you back? What slowed you down? What prohibited you from spending more time with the Lord? What prohibited you from serving God here at Second Baptist the way that God intends for you to? Proverbs says in chapter 24 and verse 30, beginning verse 30 through 34, I went by the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all grown over with thorns. Its surfaces were covered with nettles. Its stone was wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. I believe there's some real practical advice here for those working and physical conditions, but also I believe there's some spiritual principle here. And for some of us, it just may be that we're just too lazy to spend time with God. We're just too lazy to spend time in prayer. We're just too lazy to really come and serve the Lord in the way that God would have us to. Man, what is it that God wants to do in your life in 2019 that laziness may steal from you? Or one of these roadblockers, one of these hindrances. One of the minor prophets would also tell us, break up your fallow ground, the hard ground. The only way to work through some of these things is it's difficult, it's tedious, it's tired. Dr. Gray Allison used to say that daily spending time with the Lord was one of the most difficult tasks as a believer. Faithful. Spending time with the Lord was one of the most difficult tasks as a believer. One of the reasons I think it's most difficult is because the enemy attacks that. You really get serious about wanting to spend time with the Lord, man, there would be all kinds of roadblocks that come up. Things that will want to try to steal your time and steal your attention. Try to keep you up late so you won't get in bed early. All kinds of distractions. And so here's some questions just to maybe think through some of this. I don't know what kind of device you have, but one of the latest iPhone updates they put on was there's a weekly report of your screen time. I don't know if any of y'all get that some, but usually for me it's every Sunday morning, so that really helps me get ready to preach, right? Jesus gives me some humility through. I'll get a report and it'll tell me, Brother Bob, how many minutes I've spent on my phone that week. I just wonder if you were to look back, and most phones will tell you something to that effect, most smartphones, how much screen time have you had on your phone? What TV series is preventing you from serving the Lord or spending time with the Lord? Young parents, let me challenge you, and we wrestle this with ourselves and our own family. What activity might I need to eliminate for my kids so that we can spend more time serving the Lord? Now hear me clearly, there's nothing wrong with basketball or football or ballet or dance or any of those things. However, I am responsible to train my children that the Word of God, the things of God, are to have priority in our life. And that means some hard decisions. And some things my kids may not be involved with that all their classroom kids are. And I don't say that out of a spiritual aptitude or a sense of pride. But rather just know this is what God has called us to. And so I'll leave you with these questions, at least for point one. How can we remove some of these priorities? I want you to write down two words. First one is time. Second one is priorities. unless God calls us home between now and next week. I know this is going to be revolutionary. Some of you math people are going to be really impressed with this. If God doesn't call any of us home at 11:54 next Sunday, you and I will have the same exact amount of time, each one of us individually. You won't have had more time than I had. I won't have had more time than you did. I know that's revolutionary, but that's really profound. You might want to write that down or Snapchat that or something. But I say that to say this. One of the things that the enemy lies to us about, it tells us that we don't have enough time or we're more busy than somebody else. Listen, we all have the same amount of hours in a day. None of us can get 28 hours in our day. None of us only have 16. 24 hours every single day, God wakes us up. The reality is, it's a matter of our priorities and what we choose to do with our time. Now, don't misunderstand. I realize in this room, we're all at different life stages. All across the table. We've got kids in here, their biggest decision is going to have to be which Legos am I going to play with today. And then there's some on the other end of the spectrum. I won't go there, I'm not, no. Which coffee cup am I going to drink out of today? No, but we're all, I hope you catch it, we all have the same amount of time. We've got the same amount of time. We just got to figure out what priorities we have. And so just challenge yourself to think through what hindrances, what roadblocks are there that I might be able to remove. And so on that goal or response, however you want to, ask yourself, what one, two at the most, for the new year can I change? What TV series do I watch for an hour every week that I can eliminate and take that 1 hour and serve God somehow? How can I eliminate 30 minutes of Facebook time in the course of a week and use that to spend time with the Lord? Whatever it is in your life, your response, you don't have to do it this morning, but I would challenge you today, ask God, God, what is one thing I can eliminate that might help me become a better follower of Jesus this year? Okay? All right, number two, y'all are not listening fast enough. Number two, there are keys to your next step. I know some of you thought, boy, he said 11:54. He's still got a long way to go. You're right. Number two, there are keys to your next step for growth. So there's some hindrances, but I want to talk to you about some keys. So A, understanding is key. Understanding is key. So go back to verse 11. Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. And again, in another translation, it says lazy to understand. Not grabbing a hold, not understanding what's there. Verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again. Mark underline, teach you again. The first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. He's saying, here you are, you're a 27-year-old baby. That's the picture that's here. He's saying, where you ought to be out, have a job, working, doing the things of God, but rather you got to come back here and we're treating you like a baby again. Why is it that we're okay with this spiritually? He's not in here. I try not to use my kids as an illustration. He's not in here, so don't tell him, okay? But Isaac, every now and then, just to give him a hard time, I like to pick him up and I'll hold him, and he thinks I'm going to hold him close, and I'll take and flip him on his side and grab him in like a baby. And, oh, he's a baby. He's so cute. And what's he start doing? He starts trying to say, I ain't a baby, I'm a big boy. And boy, he starts fighting. I ain't a baby, I'm a big boy. And he doesn't want to be a baby. He wants to eat what we eat, mostly, some things at least. He wants to do what his big brother and sister do. He wants to grow up. He wants to do those things. Why, as children of God, are we so content with being spiritual babies? And we don't look and go, man, I want to grow up. I want to grow in the faith. I want to be a teacher of the things of God. I want to be a mentor. I want to grow in this faith. What is holding us back? So it's our lack of understanding that God has a plan and a purpose for you. You have gifts for the body of Christ. Listen, you have gifts for the body of Christ that we need. God doesn't need, but our body needs them. Our church family needs them. Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the, there it is, elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Mark, underline this phrase. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. He's saying these are the elementary things, and I've got to come back and teach you again. He's saying get past that, learn those things, and continue on in the faith. Hebrews 5:8, though he was a son, talking about Jesus, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And so part of one of the keys is understanding. Understanding what? Understanding the things of God. How does that happen? Bible reading, opening up the scriptures every single day and simply praying, God, speak to me, show me. Happens through prayer, happens through Sunday school. Sunday school is one of the best formats for you to be able to learn and get a big picture of what's going on in the scripture. Let me just say this, even in your worship guide this morning, there's a little commercial in there saying 2019 is a great time to join a Sunday school class. And so I would just challenge you to do that. Worship attendance. And yes, Sunday morning, maybe you increase faithfulness. Maybe rather than being here twice a month, you're here three or four times a month. Rather, you know, you're faithful on Sunday morning, maybe you can join us on Sunday night or Wednesday night. Let me give you this last word, and then we'll go on to our last point. Knowledge isn't the end of all. It must be used under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And what do I mean by that? It's not just about knowing all these facts, but rather it's about using them. And that's going to segue into the next point, but let me hit pause just a moment and say, you've got a goal there. There's a response. What is it in 2019? What is your next step to grow your understanding? Is it faithfulness in reading the Bible? Is it faithfulness in prayer? Is it increased faithfulness to a worship service? Is it Sunday school attendance? What is it that's going to increase your understanding of the things of God in 2019? Maybe it's being a part of a discipleship group. So I would just challenge you in that. So if it's not just about knowing more, but rather applying what we know, so then B, experience is key. First, it was understanding. Now we, as you grow in that knowledge, you've got to take what you've learned, what you know, and you've got to apply it. Faith without works is dead. Preacher said, faith that don't work won't work. It's not good grammar, but it's good theology. All right, so look at verse 13. For everyone who partakes only of milk, look, is unskilled in the word of righteousness. That carries the idea of works of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those, look, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Here's the deal, okay? And I know some of you have a lot. We all have big, important life decisions to make and things to work through and things to talk through. And sometimes we think, man, how do we make these decisions? How do we decide this? How do we go about this? How do I figure out this is the right move for my job or the right move for a house or whatever the case may be? It comes through as I spend more time with God and understanding the things of God and understanding the mind and heart of God. Then in my service, I'm around people who are more mature than me in the faith. I see how they use, they discern, they walk through this, they make these decisions. And as they do that, I learn from their experience, through my experience, and through reason of use, discern both good and evil. Listen, so many Christians are falling. I wish I could explain to you, and maybe Brother Jim be able to help me here, but I see so many people who show up Sunday after Sunday to churches all over the place that fall in love with the next fad. Whatever the Christian book is that Lifeway or CBD is selling, man, they love that and they bring it and, hey, pastor, you ought to read this. It's so great. And I glance through it and it's so far from the things of God. And Jesus help me. What is going on? How? But it's because they may have some understanding, but they've not been working out and living out their faith. And so they're tossed to and from with everything that pops up. And man, they're not growing in their faith. And it's not that I'm mad, it's that my heart breaks because I go, boy, you don't know what you're missing out on. You're tasting milk when God has manna for you. And so, Hebrews 5:8, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience. How? By the things which he suffered, by experience. Philippians 1:9, and this I pray, that your love may abound. That's the idea of work, still more and more knowledge of all discernment. 1 Timothy 4:7, but reject profane and old wives' tales and exercise yourself toward godliness. What does that mean? Be active. Be active in your faith. And the playground for your activity is the church. Some of y'all are looking down, not right. Listen, the playground for your activity is the church. God didn't call you to Lone Ranger Christianity. There's no such thing. And by the way, everybody look real close right up here. I don't want anybody to misunderstand or misquote this. When you read throughout the book of Acts, there's no such thing as an inactive church member. That's something we made up to make ourselves feel better. There's no such thing as an inactive church member. And so, how can you take this knowledge and put it into experience? By ministry involvement. We have a whole lot of teams around here. There's plenty of opportunities to be a part of one of them teams and serve. Missions, students, senior adults, showers, funeral. Man, we got all kinds of stuff. If you don't fit one of those teams, we may even make one up, make you feel better or something. But we need you to serve in where God has for you. There's so many places, outreach and serving. Next week, you can come go out with us and say, well, I don't know how to share my faith. Great, there's several of us that are in that position. We go and learn from somebody else. Greeters, stand at the door and say, hey, I'm so glad you're here. Here's a worship guide. Thanks for being here. Man, take an umbrella when it's out raining and walk somebody in. There's so many ways to serve, body. We need you. We need you to come along. Listen, as your pastor, I need you to take your next step and your walk for Christ for the glory of God. There's too many people dying and going to hell while we're sitting on our hands and we're still drinking milk. And there's a whole lot of meat that God's wanting to feed us, saying, boy, there's so much more. There's so much more. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Listen, won't you take your next step in your walk with Jesus and see what God does in your life this year? Man, listen. God wants to move in your life like you've never seen before. Preacher, how can you say that? Because I've seen God do it in mine. I've seen God do it in other people. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Great is thy faithfulness. Well, listen. write down what one thing can I remove out of my life that'll help me be more faithful in my walk with Jesus. Write down what is one step I can take to increase my understanding of the things of God. And then write down what is one way, 2019, I'm going to plug in with both feet and serve in that way. And can you imagine, I don't know how many we have this morning. I'm going to give you the preacher guess and say we have 110 this morning. Now we're counting everybody in the nursery and we're counting them all, okay? We have 110 this morning. Can you imagine if 110 people took one big step in their growth with their relationship of God? I'm telling you, next year at this time, at the end of 2019, we'll look back and go, can you believe what God did at Second Baptist Church? That's what I want to be a part of. Amen? If you will, bow your head and close your eyes. God in